This series of messages about Christmas is about, of course, that very first Christmas and the amazing number of people who missed it. I mean, from Nazareth to Bethlehem, there were countless opportunities to celebrate Christmas, and yet only a few people managed to do so. In the case of Nazareth, missing Christmas led to something far worse. They missed out on receiving life-saving faith, even with Jesus living right in their midst. The meaning of Christmas, you know what? The meaning of Christmas can actually hide in plain view. And that's what happened to those in the community of Nazareth. And the story of the first Christmas started in that community in Nazareth when Mary got the word that she would carry the long-awaited Christ child. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it reads, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And now, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with the Lord, or with God, nothing will be impossible.' And then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Mary found Jesus. And in finding Jesus, Mary found Christmas. It's not just that the angel of the Lord found her. She was willing to be found. She said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." And you know what? After that moment, when she made that statement, the rest of her life was a matter of the Lord fulfilling all the details of that event. But for a little while, Mary was the only person in Nazareth to believe that God was at work in a new way. For a while, she was the only one. It took a miraculous dream for Joseph to get on board. Because remember, his first thought was, "Got to get rid of this woman. She's pregnant and it's not my child. I care about her, so I want to do it in the most discreet, quiet way as I can, but got to get rid of her. Got to put her away." It took a miraculous dream for Joseph to get in on what was going on. In fact, we read about that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew 1:18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.' And then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So it took a miraculous dream for Joseph to get on board. Mary herself spent most of her pregnancy and her time of giving birth away from her village, away from her friends and even her family. Because remember, she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth during her time of pregnancy and stayed there. In fact, most believe that she stayed there probably right up to the time that Elizabeth had the baby. And so you know, today's message is more important than you might think. If the meaning of the Christmas season is missed, it could be years before the opportunity to experience a life-changing faith comes again. That's what happened in Nazareth. They missed it, and it took many years, 30 years, before we have the record of another encounter with Jesus. When Jesus began his teaching ministry, he returned to Nazareth. And when he returned there, he was invited to preach or to speak in the synagogue. And when Jesus delivered the same message that was already being accepted in other villages, the people of Nazareth refused to believe, and they missed it again. They missed Christmas again, 30 years later. Mark chapter 6, if you turn there. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. It says, then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty works there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. I mean, what a statement. What a statement. Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. The people of the village refused to believe. And why? Well, you know why? Because they were too familiar. They were too familiar with Mary and Joseph. They were too familiar with their neighbors, that couple, Mary and Joseph, to believe that God might be using them in a special plan. Nazareth had seen Mary's pregnancy, but it would be a stretch to believe that a miracle like that had taken place. Nazareth had access to the scripture in the synagogue. They heard the promise that a virgin would be with child and that he would be called the Nazarene. They probably even heard the rumors about the young woman who insisted that her pregnancy had been a miracle. But they refused to believe that Jesus might be the Messiah. They were simply too familiar with Jesus. He'd grown up among them. He'd lived among them every day for decades. Hard to believe that one of their own, hard to believe one from their own hometown, from someone that they spent so much time with, hard to believe that one could be the Messiah. Miracles were happening in other places, and yet the people of Nazareth, who may have come in contact with the ministry of their own native son, people with diseases, people with pain, with disabilities, they held on to their doubts and their problems. A little faith might have changed their lives and revealed to them the true meaning of Christmas. But they missed it. They missed it. Most of us are familiar with Jesus. I mean, if you've been in a church for very long, you know the stories. You know, you've sung the songs and you've even memorized scripture. And yet would Jesus be amazed at your faith or at your lack of faith? Or could this be the Christmas? Could this be the Christmas when faith finally prompts you to say, like Mary, behold the servant of the Lord? Maybe this will be the Christmas that's different than the others. When God speaks to us, God speaks to me, when God speaks to you, and you say, here I am, the servant of the Lord. Because even with all the knowledge, it can become so familiar that we miss Christmas. We can miss Christmas for eternity, but those of us who have eternity can miss Christmas. Now, consider with me for a moment three facts about the message of Christmas. Three facts about the message of Christmas, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first one, number one, there is a right time for the right message. There is a right time for the right message. And what is the right message? Well, I mean, most of our culture seems to miss it every year. You know, the message is actually a person. The message is named Jesus. And he's called Emmanuel. And when you take those two words, what do they mean? They mean the Lord saves and God is with us. What a message. What a message. Jesus is that message. You know, telling the world about Jesus may never be easier than it is at Christmas. It may never be easier. It's during this holiday time that the concept of gift giving can be so clearly seen. And we can talk about the greatest gift that's ever been given. The gift that God Himself gave. You know, a woman was doing her last minute Christmas shopping at a crowded mall, and she was tired of fighting the crowds. She was tired of standing in lines. Been there? She was tired of fighting her way down the long aisles looking for a gift that had sold out days before. Her arms were full of bulky packages when an elevated door opened. It was full. The occupants of the elevator grudgingly tightened ranks to allow a small space for her and her load. And as the doors closed, she blurted out, "Whoever is responsible for this whole Christmas thing ought to be arrested, strung up, and shot." And a few others nodded their heads or grunted in agreement. And then, from somewhere in the back of the elevator, came a single voice that said, "Don't worry, they already crucified him." Amen. You know, this Christmas sermon series has been about simplifying Christmas. It's been about spending less, doing less, and as a result, enjoying Christmas more. Imagine what your family and friends may wonder if you simply slowed down and took a holiday rest. Imagine what they think. They might not know how to handle it. Imagine what a witness and maybe a surprise for others if you made worship an important practice in your life, especially if you made it more important than all the other activities in your life. Imagine the interest if you began to actively participate in a missions activity, meeting the needs of others. Imagine. You know, what opportunities to share the good news might open up when people see the changes in your life. It may never be easier than at Christmas to share the message of Christ. It's the right time for the right methods. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Number two, there's a right place for the right message. There's a right place for the right message. Nazareth didn't see itself as the right place for the home of the Messiah. Part of the meaning of the phrase Nazarene literally means despised one. So the town was appropriately named. The village did not have the best reputation. And we know it didn't. You remember Nathanael? When he was told about this Jesus from Nazareth, he might be the one that we've been waiting for. Remember his response in John chapter 1 verse 46? He basically said, Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? The community didn't have a great reputation. But any place, at any time, can produce a great leader or an unforgettable individual. Your place, your community, is the right place for the right message of Christmas. Because think about it. Who else is going to take the good news to your community? Who else is going to take that message to your community? Everyone else is too busy doing Christmas. It needs to be you. The best person to reach your family, the best person to reach your friends, is you. As scary as that may sound. You've got the message. I mean, you're right there. God has placed you right in the middle of your community. Of course, He's placed all of us in the middle of our community. God has placed you in the middle of your community, and you're armed with years of relationships and trust in your community. You know, find a way to get the message of Jesus into your area of influence this year. Find some way to do it. I mean, maybe, what a wild thought. Maybe include a spiritual side to your family Christmas. Much of the rest of the world isn't doing that. I mean, include the simple reading of the Christmas story as part of your gift exchanging. I mean, when the day gets a little more quiet, if it does, in our house, I don't think it ever does. Our house is operating 24/7, as they say. When the day gets a little more quiet, you know, seek to engage someone that God has put in your path with a conversation about the real meaning of Christmas. There's never a better time. And there's no, and the right place is right where you are. That's the right place for the right message. You know, the magic of the movie It's a Wonderful Life is in George Bailey's opportunity to see what his community would be like without his positive influence. Well, you know, you make an impact in your community. Like it or not, you make an impact in your community. Simply because you're there. Because it's where your life is centered. And work to make it the impact of the right message. The gospel message. Your community is the right place for the right message. All those scary people that live around you. And then number three, finally, there is a right person for the right message. Which kind of just adds on to what I've just been saying. There's a right person for the right message, and you know, you might have doubts about your ability to deliver that message. Or, on the other hand, you might be the most confident prophet since Elijah. And there's a few of us that are that way. Each of us in our own ways, with our own skills, have been gifted and have been charged by God to deliver the news of Christmas. We've been gifted. We've been given the message. We've been given the message. We've been told to go share it. Mary and Joseph, they accepted the challenge. They trusted God and they found the miracle. They paid a tremendous price for accepting the task that God gave them. They ended up being miles away from home. Difficult circumstances. Dangerous journey. We estimated that it's somewhere between 50, 60 miles that they had to travel. Maybe because of winding around, maybe upwards to 75 to 80 miles that they actually had to travel in order to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem. But you know, they accepted the challenge, but the rest of Nazareth didn't seem to endure any of that discomfort. Maybe because they didn't accept the challenge of faith. Maybe. And as a result, they missed Christmas. And along with missing Christmas, they missed Jesus. You know, what a person does with the right message, given in the right time, at the right place, is completely up to that person, him or her. But life-changing faith, Christmas-finding faith, is available for all who are willing to listen and to receive. And so the right place, the right time, the right person, and most importantly, the right message. You know, Christmas started in Nazareth, and it went to Bethlehem. Both villages were filled with people who missed what God was doing in their midst. The same people in our culture, the same way people in our culture can literally celebrate a huge holiday without ever comprehending what God has done. And continues to do so, right in our midst. And yet God is at work, changing lives one at a time and getting the message out in some very creative ways. Very creative ways. Pete Wynn was in his local post office just a few days before Christmas. And at the end of the transaction, a very helpful postal clerk managed to smile and the standard line, "Is there anything else I can do for you?" And Peter joked, "Well, can you help me pay for Christmas?" And without missing a beat, she replied, "He already paid for it." Amen. My encouragement is that you would find ways to simplify Christmas. Maybe it's too late. Maybe you've already worn yourself out doing Christmas. But if you haven't, in these next couple of days, try to figure out how you can simplify Christmas so that you can get beyond all of the noise of it, all of the stress of it, all of the busyness of it, and get refreshed on what the Christmas message is. Why we have Christmas. Why we celebrate it in the first place. I would call you to make a commitment to make this Christmas different. Make this Christmas different. Make it a special time for sharing the Lord. Make it your commitment that before this Christmas is over, that you're going to share the gospel message with someone. You're going to share the good news of Jesus Christ with someone.